News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Football heavy Friday, 8:07. Drew Fabianich is the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. Joins us on the line. He'll be joining us on Monday mornings during the football season.
He sure will. And we'll have a lot to discuss then, week in and week out. Drew, thank you so much for coming on with us again this morning.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. I always appreciate talking ball with guys who know ball.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, we always know a little more about ball after we talk with you. That's for sure.
We sure do. And we're talking about the new podcast last week, the Senior Bowl podcast, and that's awesome in its own. But you guys already have such a great program running over there. And the release this week of the annual Top 300 list, this is kind of like Christmas Day for some folks, getting to look at these players that we'll be scouting throughout the year and heading into the NFL draft process for 2027. You identify the college players scouts believes are among the nation's best prospects. For someone seeing this list for the first time, what exactly is that Senior Bowl Top 300, Drew?
What we do is we take, you know, as soon as last year's game's over with, a week after, we start stripping the board of the players that are going into the draft. And, you know, we leave the ones up there that we did just because, you know, there's some juniors that stayed and some redshirt sophomores that stayed. Well, then we start breaking things down by conference, you know, by person, and then they break down those teams, they grade the players, and then, you know, by the end of it, we probably, you know, weeded through about 2,100 players and then drop it down to 300 of the, you know, the draft-eligible best 300 that we've seen. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some guys that didn't play, you know, and a matter of fact, 64 players on the roster last year weren't on our initial 300.
Wow.
So that tells you you can play your way into our game.
Absolutely. That's quite a figure right there.
Yeah, and you know, and again, this is not like our final list. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be taking guys just off of this 300 because guys surface all the time. Jamari Taylor from Virginia, I mean, transferred from like North Carolina Central last year and blew it up at Virginia. That's why he got invited here. That's just how this works.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I thank the scouts that we employ. We nine area scouts, the scouting assistants in-house. You know, Jack Gilmore, my ops guy, myself, we're all looking at tape. We're all evaluating tape. And, you know, and hopefully we got a lot of them right. I'm sure we missed a few. And put it this way, I'm not going to make everybody happy. I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the ones that we've seen right now.
Yeah.
Off of last year's tape.
And this week we've seen the preseason All-American teams announced, preseason All-SEC, and, you know, the SEC led the way in that All-Americans list, and they lead the way in this top 300, too. You have 109 players out of the SEC, but the leading school is Ohio State with 16. What stood out to you about this year's initial 300 group there?
You know, that there are actually 25 quarterbacks on it.
Wow.
And I've got to pick eight. Now, don't get me wrong, I think that probably 40% of them will go back next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's just natural attrition. It's actually deeper in some positions than last year. Some positions are better, some are not. Like the edge class is not as good as last year's. The defensive line is better than last year's. The secondary, I think, is a little bit better than last year. The linebackers are a little weaker. The offensive line right about the same number, and you know the running backs are about the same number too. But the receivers are really, really deep. There's a really good group of ones, and there's a really good group of number twos out there.
Hmm. So 100 underclassmen made the list. Evaluation wise, Drew, how is that different? How do you evaluate younger players from evaluating seniors that have got more experience, but maybe you know exactly who and what they are?
No different. And put it this way, and even when I evaluated players, I never listed what they were.
Okay.
I never put their height or weight down.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to know. I wanted to evaluate it purely on the tape because sometimes when you know a guy's 5'9", it warps you to going like, okay, small.
Yeah.
Well, then he's going to play small. Well, maybe he doesn't, you know, or, you know, he's a redshirt sophomore that's draft eligible. Well, you know, the school's maybe going to give you that player. Maybe they're not. But you're going to have to evaluate the guy the next year anyway. so you might as well evaluate them all and get ahead of the curve. And if they show out as young players, normally they're going to show out as older players, bottom line.
Yeah, and that's great because that's the exact question I wanted to ask was how much do you weigh measurables versus what they've put on tape, and kind of not discounting the measurables, but basically as you watch what they've already laid down, I was very interested to hear inside that process. I'm also wondering, Drew, when you guys put this list together, how much you've mentioned it could change during the college season, but the film that you guys grind, that you and the scouts go over, you know, back in the day, there had to be like a trading network for tapes. If you wanted to get your hands on game tape, you had to know some people. While more players are widespread across the country and there's gems that you're looking for all over, has it been easier with technology to get your hands on all of this film from all of these different players with just all the advancements we've made?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe. And TeamWorks is our partner. And, you know, they provide us with PFF and telemetry. And I tell people this. I mean, I watch multi-view. I watch 16 games. I write down the flashes that I see during those games. And then I go into the office on Sunday and Monday, and the games are already loaded on the PFF. So I can watch and say, hey, did I really see what I saw? Or was this guy really not as good as I thought he was? And that's where we start developing. Now, in the past, I mean, if you didn't go to that game, you may not be able to get that tape or that video or whatever for 3 weeks because it had to go to the NFL Dub Center and then back to the team and then back to you. You know, and then when you're on the road, they have to put it on the drive. Well, you have to get the drive downloaded at the hotel. I mean, it's so much easier now. I mean, and telemetry is a great tool that TeamWorks also has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a tracking device. It's just like Catapult, and you know, you can take the videos of it from the statistics. I can find the max speed play that you know, maybe it's a 21.8. I can see that play because sometimes it's not with the ball in their hand. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. You're playing one way or the other. You know, you're on the
That's
field.
Right.
You need to give effort one way or the other for sure. And I know a lot of coaches who watch a player very closely when he's not necessarily the focal point of the play, like what kind of effort is he giving?
Yep.
And finally, we kind of wrap this conversation up, Drew. Just a reminder what the Senior Bowl and the Mobile community, you know, what it means to Mobile and to be such an important part of the NFL draft process.
Oh, I'll put it this way. I mean, everybody in the NFL comes here. And there's a reason why. It's because it's the premier all-star game. It always has been, always will be. I mean, all-star games move every other year, every other 3 years. I mean, hell, the East-West game, I think, moved 7 times while I was with the Cowboys for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's because this community, you know, cherishes this game. It's embraced it, you know, and they're embracing everything we do. I mean, heck, we put out the second podcast yesterday, too, and guess what? Because of the 300, we hardly got any hits on it until about 8 o'clock last night. It's like, all of a sudden, we got 50,000 views, you know, by this morning.
That is alive and well. That's great. That is great.
Yeah, and it's a great inside look at what we do and how we evaluate. And, and like we were on with Crane and Cone, and we broke down some players, you know, on the show.
That's awesome.
It's a great tool for people to use, and it's out there right now on every platform.
We're not Crane and Cone, but we are Dan and Dalton.
Yeah, I think I had a class with Crane, actually, back at South.
Yeah, I know those kids when they were kids.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. And we appreciate, Drew, you giving us that time, too, and giving us that insight here at Airport and 65, where we are fired up for this college football season on the way and fired up to talk with you the rest of the way. So thank you for coming on with us this morning to talk about the top 300.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all.
You got it. Drew Fabianich, the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. The 2027 Panini Senior Bowl is going to be played Saturday, January 30th. You know where? Hancock-Whitney Stadium on the campus of the University of South Alabama.
I'm going to start tailgating soon for the Senior Bowl at the end of January. The big conversation on the text line and on the air this morning has been, well, I'd give you three guesses and you'd figure it out.
Yeah.
Flock cameras. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking this morning. Tuberville, the senator and likely next governor of Alabama, told AL.com his stance on flock cameras. Basically, he says he wants law enforcement to have every tool they need, including these license plate reading cameras. But he really says he wants some accountability that's written up by Alabamians. He said, Alabamians have real privacy concerns about these cameras. A tool this powerful needs rules written by Alabamians, not by a tech company in Atlanta, referencing Flock cameras. He said, we should be able to track and prosecute criminals while protecting our citizens. And C.B. Carl, in response to a law enforcement officer who texted earlier and said that these Flock cameras, these license plate readers, work and work well and have already resulted in the arrest of some dangerous people. C.B. Carl says, in response to the police officer's comparison of Flock cameras and Google tracking my movements, I can leave my phone anywhere, and that's the end of Google's ability to track me. I bet he can't say the same about Flock cameras. I was also, you know, kind of thinking through this yesterday, and for the wise criminal, if there is such a thing,
there is.
If they don't have a license plate, are Flock cameras, are they also picking up the cars that don't have plates and kind of partitioning them off as well? Say they're on the search for a dangerous criminal who's fled, they don't know his whereabouts. Well, if he doesn't have a license plate, I just wonder if they're also going, okay, and also these vehicles.
Almost like flag them down. I mean, flag if there's no license plate, make some sort of a flag or.
Yeah, like these vehicles don't have license plates. They could be sketchy. But the could be sketchy thing is where things get sketchy, right? There have already been, and I forget what the number is that Flock Camera has put on it, but the number of misreads. Like they tell the police that that this license plate is here, and maybe they're just wrong about it. I think it's at about a 1% miss rate, which sounds small.
1%?
1%.
Unless you're the missed rate.
Unless you're the 1%, right?
Yeah, and when you're hassled beyond, you know, your day just comes to a screeching halt.
And in addition to some of the cases we've heard with law enforcement misusing it to track people, and there's exes that are being tracked or even some stalker cases I've read about. But there's also been cases of people who have been mischarged, more or less. One involving murder that I was reading about. I need to go find the details of that. But mistakes do happen.
Yep.
And so you have that also. Billy texting in, he said, our neighborhood installed cameras at all entrances. MPD has access, I think, when granted. No doubt has reduced the amount of theft and other crimes since implementing, said tag readers work well.
Interesting. Katie Britt came out.
Mm-hmm.
You had part of that.
She was talking data centers.
Okay.
And she's somewhere in between Tuberville and Doug Jones as far as data centers are concerned.
She's not taking a direct policy stance on the Flock safety to this point.
I don't believe so.
I don't think she has. So anyway, just a thought on that, since Tuberville, also a U.S. senator, soon to be, we would suppose, depending on what happens in November, the next governor of the state of Alabama. So his opinion is going to mean a lot.
And one thing that could shift, entirely shift the balance of that race for governor is this conversation about data centers and Flock safety.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the true mood of the electorate in Alabama and how strongly people feel anti or pro data centers or Flock cameras, and I don't think they're oranges and oranges. I think it's kind of an apples and oranges discussion, but still involving recent technology
exactly.
That's become very debatable. But that could kind of, I think switch some votes over.
Well, I think
at least maybe keep people at home if they don't like what Tuberville's saying.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that these issues that have just emerged to our consciousness in the past 2 or 3 months, it seems like, where they're on the front page, could help direct these elections coming up.
Yeah, they sure could.
And the things that we never even considered were a part of what we were putting into the mix as to who we would vote for.
Especially some of these political races that are a lot tighter than the ones we're seeing in Alabama.
Yep. 8:21 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Morning. Should know that Dalton is in charge of a lot of the operations around here. He could turn my mic up at any time and I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I would just mope and go home. But you've been working with Michael Knapp for a while here.
Yeah, we've been putting this together and we're very excited tonight. First time ever on FM Talk 106.5. Some high school football being broadcast. We love high school football. We talk about it all the time, but I'm so excited that UMS Wright football is now on FM Talk 106.5 and kicking off this big season tonight at Jackson Prep in Mississippi. And on with us now, man you'll be hearing from tonight beginning at 6:30 with the pregame, Michael Knapp, who's calling the game alongside Kevin Raley. Michael, thanks for coming on this morning.
Good morning, guys. Really glad to be with you. And I'm excited about hitting the airwaves tonight with this matchup. It's going to be a really good one.
Yeah, well, it's two good teams that have been historically very strong programs.
Yes, we know about.
Say strong. Mm-hmm. How about 30 combined state championships between the two schools?
Wow. Well, there you go.
Very strong program.
Yeah.
Yeah. And crossing state lines for this one for folks, you'll see some interesting matchups that maybe you're not used to seeing over the years with this split in the AHSAA. But the division that UMS is in is loaded. And we talk about these teams all the time. So it should be a really fun year. But going into Jackson, Mississippi tonight, and plenty of people won't be able to make the trip. I'm hoping there's a big UMS crowd on hand. But for those who don't make it, pretty cool they get to listen to it here on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, one of the side effects of the new classification is it has allowed us, it's just given us an opportunity to make some partnerships with some like-minded schools in the region, other independent schools, and Jackson Prep is certainly one of those, a school very much like UMS Wright is in the state of Mississippi. And so we're able to make some of these partnerships, and, you know, we'll go to Blowwood, Mississippi tonight, and then next season Jackson Prep will return the trip to Cooper Stadium right here on Old Shell Road. So it's a really great matchup tonight, and two strong teams with great, great tradition, great history, very well coached, and I'm excited about it.
Speaking of coach, Sam Williams is second year at UMS Wright. He's originally from Mississippi and had a lot of success in that state as a public school coach.
He did. Took Brandon High School to multiple state championship games. And it is his second year, but the real story is it's really his first full year. Hmm. You know, he came in late spring before last season and didn't have the full off-season program, just didn't have the time to implement it. And so this is, I think, a lot more of what you'll see from coming seasons now that he and his staff have had the full offseason and preseason calendar to get his team ready.
You know, Michael, Coach Michael Knapp and Coach Kevin Raley, that's who we'll be hearing from tonight. I think the fact that you two are on the call and you have so much insight into these young men will be listening to you call each and every week. That gives listeners even more background than maybe they're used to getting from a radio broadcast.
It's so much fun for me because, you know, three of these offensive linemen that are going to be starting the night are going to be in my classroom here in about 45 minutes. And so I do know them. A lot of them play basketball for me. A lot of them play baseball for Coach Raley. And Coach Raley has coached our middle school football team for many years now. So he coached all these kids when they were in middle school in the football program. So it's just a lot of – look, one of the great joys of being in education and in high school athletics is watching kids go from boys to men literally before your eyes in about a six-year window. You know, we've watched these guys since they were in – most of them since they were in kindergarten here. Yeah. And now they're in their junior and senior years of high school. And that's such a rewarding part of our job. And to get to call their game on Friday night and brag on them and talk about the highs and the lows, man, it's a really special thing to be a part of.
Yeah. We're fired up. 6:30 pregame begins tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff, and coaches Michael Knapp and Kevin Raley on the call. We'll let you get back to your day job where you're teaching these young men and young women.
Don't put any of those offensive linemen on detention or anything like that, man.
No worries. Yeah. No worries. They'll be full go tonight. It's a short day here. We
got to
hit the road here right after lunch.
I'm sure.
Sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
8:30. More Mobile Mornings on the way. UMS Wright tonight at Jackson Prep. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff. And we'll get to your text here on the other side. 251-343-0106.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Oh, yeah. Aerosmith taking us into the weekend right now.
Yeah, Aerosmith and Louie Arata, those two things really stick out in my mind. They go together so well.
They actually do. And Louie's going to drive us into the weekend or just give us the vehicle to drive into
the
weekend.
Nice.
Time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Good morning, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are doing great. Really cool seeing you and everybody out there yesterday at the Business Expo. And if someone wants to see you today, it won't be hard. They can come by McConnell Automotive. Great inventory right now.
That's right. And tell Dan now we got the helicopter warming up right now, so we'll take him to Gulf Shores tonight.
The helicopter to Gulf Shores. You hear that, Ella?
That's right.
Don't have to drive.
That's good. That's right. You don't have to drive.
That's very kind of you.
No, man, we got, speaking of helicopters, man, we got a great selection of Denalis here. Hadn't had this many Yukon and Yukon XL Denalis in a while. Got some Sierra Denalis, too, and don't forget those AT4s, man. We got plenty of those here, too. And used car side, we got a lot of the car Bravos, which we always talked about, gives you an extra 12 on the factory warranty on just about anything I got out front. So check that out. We're going to be here all weekend. And I think Pal at the Dewdrop is going to give us a few Dewdrop hot dogs
nice.
For the weekend. So we'll have that on. And I don't know if there's a football game on or not, but if there is, we'll be having the TVs right on it. So
St. Michael. Sure will. Yeah, you got St. Michael Catholic on Sunday, at 12:30. That'll be a good one to have up on ESPN2 as folks get their vehicles worked on or they finish that paperwork for that new vehicle. Well, Louie, we appreciate it and always do and hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, thank y'all, and everybody be careful out there and have a great weekend.
All right, Louie Raddick, go see him. He'll be at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Louie was down at the Business Expo yesterday, representing McConnell Automotive and a certain fencing company.
Yes. And I've got a lot of questions at Bryant Bank earlier this week and then at the expo yesterday. And,
we've been around, man.
And on the text line and email, folks asking about College Pick'em this year. Don't fret. Don't worry. College Pick'em will be back, and it will be back very soon with the UMS launch tonight on our radio station here,
right.
FM Talk 106.5. And so much going on. We're going to wait until Monday to officially launch the College Pick'em for this season, hoping for the biggest and best competition yet. And it'll open officially Monday, making things easy this year. Great directions so that no one gets tied up trying to get back on to the Pick'em group that we create every year.
By the way, that'll be a couple of weeks before the first game.
Exactly. So there still should be plenty of time for people to get in. 2 weeks before our first games go live in that September 5th college football weekend where Auburn and Alabama will play their openers. Bama at home. Auburn will be in Atlanta taking on Baylor. So plenty of time. But Monday, we'll start getting signed up. And then I will help if anyone's having some issues getting in that group. We'll make
there
sure
you
it happens. Yeah.
There's your operations hat again, Dalton. You help people sign up. And it usually things will trickle in at the beginning, and then suddenly we look up right before the first game starts, and we'll have 300, 400, 500 players.
Well, we had 872.
800 last year?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we've had some big numbers over the years, and that's because big prizes.
Well, no wonder I finished 748. Now, that explains everything.
We've had some rough years here recently in the Pick'em, but I have a feeling it's turning around. And it's all about, you know, the honor of finishing high for us at FM Talk 106.5. We obviously aren't part of the crew that can win the prize packages,
right.
But looking forward to it. A lot of conversation this morning about Flock cameras. Tuberville making his position known, and he's basically saying that it's important for law enforcement to have all the tools they need at their disposal, but also he wants to see Alabamians play a heavy role in the legislation regarding these license plate camera readers and making sure that they aren't being abused or doing their best to make sure that that power isn't being abused. And we've had some texts about this too. Texter here says Tea Party founder launches nationwide data center revolt against AI data center expansion. Squirrel Vereen, several things to say here. Yes, people are being bandwagon sheep about the cameras, but he feels they're being bandwagoners by being anti-Flock camera. He said,
okay,
right down to the repeated Benjamin Franklin quote, as if they are affecting privacy more than anything else they use. He says, criminals are getting away with crime too much. Every place is a high crime area or an area that a criminal could be. People can't have it both ways. Focusing on those rare mistakes, talking about law enforcement misusing the power that they have if they're able to use those cameras, or some of the misreads by the license plate readers. He says focusing on those mistakes is kind of like when the anti-police bunch uses a few bad police encounters to characterize all police or their public relations.
Squirrel Verini, a former policeman?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
I believe so. Michael says Jeff, as in Jeff Poore, was 100% right about what Alabama will do. Alabama is going to still create the total surveillance state backbone, but they'll limit it and say they're for freedom. But they are still building the total control system for the next COVID. And Butterknife says if you were to take the Democrat and the Republican stickers off, most Alabama Republicans would agree with Doug Jones on data centers and flock cameras. I will say regarding Tuberville, saying that he wants Alabamians to decide, that he wants the state itself to write up some legislation and kind of tighten this up, but still allow the use of these readers, is, it sounds good, say let Alabamians decide. But we've seen the Alabama legislature,
they're not very
decide a lot of things that go against the wishes of their constituents.
They're Republicans in name. Only many times when they
in many cases
the difference between the legislature in Montgomery as opposed to the one in Tallahassee, very different results, very different mindsets. So yeah, I don't know that depending on that group up there is the best way that they would really meet the wants of the citizens.
Mm-hmm. Billy from Fowl River, and this is becoming, well, Billy has a couple of my favorite themes that he texts us every morning, more or less. He gives us first a great picture of a sunrise over Fowl River with
an
American flag.
Yep.
Yeah, in the foreground. But also he's started sending me pictures of, I don't know if it's his neighbor or a nearby neighbor, a 100-year-old man who's out there push mowing his yard all the time. And Billy sends us another picture. He says, good morning, 100-year-old yard man. And he's out there working hard and doing it, I would presume, early this morning, which is a great move.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend a 100-year-old yard man. But it looks like this guy is able and willing to do it. And it looks like Billy is offering no help.
He's just taking pictures. Okay.
You know when you see a crime going on and you're taking pictures of the crime or video crime, like, well, why don't you go stop the crime? Try that out.
No. And Billy says it's actually his dad. So that's awesome.
Oh, that's but, okay.
You know,
sorry, Billy.
My granny, who lived in Nashville.
Yeah.
And lived in the same house that she and my grandfather, who passed away the year before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
She lived in that same house she raised my mom and aunt and uncle in forever. And I got to visit all the time. But she kept a push mower in her little den behind the house. And she, for years and years
Was it a push mower with... Was it just a manual push mower?
I mean, yeah, this was the push mower she had in the 90s. So she kept that thing and was out there push mowing her yard all the time. And she worked to such a late age. And, you know, I absolutely loved her.
Well,
and,
look,
and
man, that's good news for you.
Could be. Well, what I took from it was that, you know, she was a widow for a lot of her life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 1990 is when my grandfather passed away.
Yeah.
She kept working. And she kept working in her yard. And I am so convinced that keeping that train a moving when you're older, both mentally and physically, does so much for your lifespan. And it's not guaranteed, obviously.
Yep.
Anything can happen. But to be able to get out and keep working, that seems to be the secret to staying alive for a lot of folks.
Seems to be. You've definitely, if you're not on the job, maybe you've done a good job with your retirement accounts and you can walk away at 65 or 68 or whatever. And but certainly staying busy, staying motivated, having something that a daily mission.
Mm-hmm.
But one daily mission can also be a job, or it can be, like you say, gardening. When I think of push mowers, I think about the ones that I used at my grandmother's house when I was a kid. It was a push mower, unmotorized.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember those?
Okay, yeah. No, she at least had a motor.
Okay,
on her push,
yeah,
push mower.
This was a rotary or whatever it was, but that was a pain in the neck.
Yeah. I thought you meant more of the newfangled easy gliding push mowers that you have these days.
This was not easy gliding, and neither was my grandmother. She was the nicest woman in the world until it was time for me to cut her grass. Then the German in her came out.
yeah.
No lie.
Oh, well, my granny, who we're talking about here, she would give it to people. I mean, she was a terror if you got on her bad side.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. But she worked in this, she worked with three men basically for several decades, and they would like pair shipping companies with produce and other companies. Basically, they would tell you, all right, I have this trucking company, and they can take your stuff here,
yeah.
right? And they'd line that up. And I had many summer mornings and days where school was out, and my brother and I would just sit in her office playing, you know, Battleship or something like that.
Oh, she was the one that worked with that group. Yeah, you told me about that.
They were so gruff, those dudes. They were, I mean, they had a flower pot that was probably 4 foot tall, filled to the brim with cigarettes. She was not a smoker, but they acted like they worked in a junkyard.
Yeah.
And she would put them in line so quickly.
Sounded like they needed to be put in line.
Yeah, they definitely did. Yeah,
the Gruff Brothers or whoever they were.
A frat house.
Yeah.
And she told them what she thought. She had her own office. They all were kind of in their own little frat den. But, man, I loved her. And, she mowed that yard her entire life.
You got to love ladies who are assertive. I think we have one in our studio. She's now with NBC 15, and you can see her on the news and also some of the sports. And she's going to be working with us, keeping me in the press box where I don't have to run up and down.
Yes. Nearly lost Dan a couple times.
God love Ella Snap. She is here, and she's going to be part of our broadcast. We'll talk to her about herself and also tonight's game and the season ahead.
I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to the entire football season. 8:46, more Mobile Mornings on the way.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:49. Going to talk with our new friend, Ella Snap. What a name. She's going to be with us here in just a moment. She'll be with us all football season long. By the way, why are so many people saying we dig the pig? It's because Piggly Wiggly, that is the place to go. I see Dalton there all the time. Dalton's almost like an annoyance there. He's there so often.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to be the next pig. What can I say? Put me in.
I had that unfortunate confrontation with the pig at the
Business
Convention
Expo.
Center last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's all been cleared up now.
It's behind us.
I like to think it's behind us. Listen to these specials. USDA boneless ribeye steaks, $12.99 a pound. Wild-caught Gulf shrimp, $6.99 a pound. And love that University and Airport Piggly Wiggly. A lot of people are there, including Kathy, who loves the pig.
I dig the pig. I love the pig. They're awesome. They have so many great deals here. Oh, we have such wonderful people that come through the store. It's a beautiful, large store. Everybody loves the layout, and everything is so fresh, and it's well-stocked, and all of the customer service people are so nice to everybody here.
Indeed. Airport and University, and at that Piggly Wiggly or any other in Mobile and Baldwin County, you can register to win our America 250 Showcase Grand Prize worth over $4,600 at Piggly Wiggly.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, he'll have Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News just after 9:30. In the 10 o'clock hour, Philip Ensler, a Democrat nominee for lieutenant governor. And in the third hour, a couple big hitters here, State Senator Chris Elliott, who I believe is in favor of naming the new I-10 Mobile River Bridge after Jimmy Buffett.
He is.
Like so many who answered on our Facebook and text line and polls. And at 11:30, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville on the Jeff Poor Show. That's all on the way after Mobile Mornings.
Ella Snap is with NBC 15, and she's also with us right now.
Yes.
And she's going to join us for our football season this year. You'll be our sideline reporter.
Yes, I will.
Tell everybody about you. I got a chance to meet you recently, and then we had a chance to grab a bite before. That was the day that the Amtrak was celebrating its one-year anniversary, right?
Yes, it was the one-year anniversary of the Mardi Gras service.
You were downtown covering that. We grabbed a bite real quick, but I just think you're just going to be such an asset to us. First of all, I don't have to double duty it and be on the side. It was ridiculous.
I've heard you had a really fun time doing that.
It was a little stressful, but it wasn't a bad deal. But now you'll have the chance to talk to coaches before the game and then at halftime and post-game with your celebration. Just tell everybody about yourself.
Yeah, I'm so excited to join this Friday Night Rivals team. I am from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up there my whole life. I went to Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. I got involved with sports there starting my freshman year. I worked with our ESPN production team, had the opportunity to work behind the camera. And then once I got a little bit more into my major, I was like, I want to be in front of the camera too. So I got working there, and Bob Dillner, my professor, turned into my mentor. He got me started getting me interviews post-game. I got to know coaches, players, and then I worked my way up to being trusted by the broadcast team enough to do some sideline reporting for our ESPN Plus broadcast, which That's was nice. So exciting. And I remember my first basketball game. I just, the smile on my face, my dad called me after to, like, congratulate me and all that. He was like, oh, you love what you do so much. I've never seen you smile so big. And I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to be a sideline reporter. So that's really been my goal along. That's what I want to do. And when I joined NBC 15, my boss was like, well, I kind of told my boss, I was like, hey, do you have a football show, anything like that? I knew I'd be doing news, but I wanted to get involved with sports as well. He was like, well, we need a sideline reporter. And I was like, cool, you have one.
He said, we need a sideline reporter.
He was like, I'd expressed how much I wanted to be a sports reporter. And yes, I'm starting in news and I love doing news. But obviously the end goal is sports.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to be immersed in sports as much as I can when there's a sports news story.
Yeah.
They can tell you, I jump on it.
Yeah, you talked about how your dad felt when he saw you and the smile on your face. And the viewers can tell, too.
Yeah.
When someone's doing something that they really love, it shines through. But then when you kind of pair that with your journalistic abilities and the discipline that it takes to actually learn about these teams and know the good questions to ask. I know the NBC 15 crew there, UTV 44, you're in good hands with Ella this year. You really dive in, huh?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I've had so much fun. I already reached out to some coaches for tonight's game. I was able to reach out to the Park Lane coach. We had a little call to talk about some players, what he's looking forward to tonight. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. You just be you. Your future is going to be just fine because you bring such a working attitude and enthusiasm to the job. And I think you're right, Dalton. I think when folks watch the game tonight, beginning tonight and then on forever, they're going to realize that that Ella loves what she does. And you can love what you do, but you do have to do the work, too. There is work involved. Talk about that.
I mean, this being my first season, I've been in Mobile for 6 months now. So something that was definitely scary coming into this first football season is these are teams that everyone knows that I do not know. Mm-hmm. And I've done stories at a few high schools before, but getting to know these coaches, getting to know these players, it takes a bit of a haul this season because I've really got to put my research in, which is why I've been really focusing on, you know, getting to those coaches, getting to these players, even through social media nowadays. I mean, that's such a great way to get in touch with coaches and players.
Yeah, talk about that. Just you've been able to reach players,
right?
Like some of the players for tonight's game, just through messaging, right?
Right, exactly. So I reached out to Park Lane's quarterback just through social media. I think we're going to talk a little bit later today just about how he's feeling going into the game. I mean, it's an easy, simple way to start these conversations that, you know, give me content for the sideline, and also, you know, I can tell the audience some things they're not going to be able to have a conversation with the quarterback.
That's so cool.
Maybe a nervous freshman getting ready to face a pretty vicious Gulf Shores defense, huh?
Van Gorder defense. So the Brian Van Gorder, the defensive coordinator for Gulf Shores. Has been the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
At the University of Georgia.
Insane resume for a high school coach.
Insane. And so they've got a lot of guys that are on that staff that have coached at the collegiate level. So we're going to see two very well-coached teams tonight.
Absolutely. When I was talking to Coach Rushing, he told me, you know, not only did he want this game to be a challenge for his athletes, but he wants it to be a challenge for his coaches, too. He knows the coaching staff that they're going up against. Mm-hmm. So he's really wanting to challenge his coaches. Hey, come up with better plays. We have got to match not only the athletic levels, but also the coaching levels.
Speaking of the athletic level, Carter Davis is one of the fastest athletes in the state of Alabama.
West Virginia commit, right?
Yeah. I could see him I could see that changing. Yeah. I could see some local teams or SEC teams finally saying, you know what, we were thinking, because he's a kid who was growing. He was like 150 pounds a couple of years ago. He's up to about 175 now. So we'll see, but he alone is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be so much fun to watch. I'm sure you'll be hearing from me on the sideline just about him.
Are you going to reach out to Carter, maybe?
I might as well reach out to him today, huh?
And, you know, with people that fast on the field, some viewers may be worried about where you are standing on the sideline. Your athletic ability, your agility, do you feel you're ready in case a play comes your way that you can maybe get out of the way or snag a ball out of the air?
Well, let's see. I'm doing some weightlifting in the gym. I'm trying to become a runner right now. It's not going well. I really don't like running. I think I'm ready for it. Okay. You know, you watch those compilations of sideline reporters getting hit by the football, getting hit by players. It has happened to me before in college, so I would say I'm ready.
Yeah.
I've gotten hit by a basketball a few times. I've gotten fallen on by a few basketball players.
Really?
So, oh, yeah. When you're under basket cam, like you're right there. So many fouls happen right there in the paint.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, and so much of it depends, your security depends on the cameraman, if you have one down there, because they need to be able to let you know in pregame if a ball's headed your way. Mm-hmm. So make sure someone trusted is in that position.
Hey, we're going to become friends real fast.
Hey, by the way, and pregame before the game, too, when we're out there on the field around 6 o'clock, or so, mm-hmm. you got kids punting the ball and kicking the ball, and then you just got a heads up.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, head will be on a swivel.
So we'll see you tonight.
Yes.
Down at Gulf Shores at the sports complex, and look forward to a great season, and thank you for bringing your talents to Mobile.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be working with you, Dan. Thank you.
Very glad to have you here.
It's a shame you two are so busy, too, or maybe you'd get some Baldwin County beach time while you're down there in Gulf Shores, but I know how it is.
You know the way I tan, Dalton. It's pretty. I'm the man as far as that goes.
8:58, Jeff Poor Show on the way. He has a loaded show, and we'll be back Monday morning at 6 with plenty to discuss on Mobile Mornings.